So I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's page 638. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." Alarmed, Joshua resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel to give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes on us, whether the sword of judgment or the plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. But you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your possessions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Joshua bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some of the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, for they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. For they, after they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder. And they found among them great amounts of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There were also so much plunder. It took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berakah, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then Jehoshaphat and all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. What an amazing passage. Well, I want to start this sermon by a little quiz. In fact, I need to turn on my PowerPoint. I hope I can do my PowerPoint tonight. Hope I don't mess it up too much. There we go. The best fight song ever. Well, we're going to play a little Name That Tune as we start. Remember the name in the 1980s? Name That Tune. So Cynthia's going to play a song. I want you to know who it is or figure it out. Okay, start us out here. Okay, what is it? What? Wait a minute. Stop. So the plan is you have to tell me what the song is. I'm not just going to play through these songs and enjoy them. You got to say, raise your hand and say what the song is, okay? Michigan. All right. So in the back, there's these, I was going to give you, I thought about giving you peanut M&Ms, but in the back, somebody gave us a bunch of nightlights, and so pick one up. You just won a nightlight for, and the reason I didn't give you M&Ms, because this is the Dutch prize tonight. Right. Oh, next one. Let's do the next one. Who knows it? Oh, go. Yeah. Michigan State. Okay. Great. Okay. All right. This is yours, my friend. I would autograph it, but I need a marker. Okay. All right. Next one. Okay. What? Anybody? Yes. Pat on Wisconsin. Great. Great. She can't hear as well. Wow. She's playing so well, she can't hear. All right, good. Next one. What? Anybody? Raise your hand. What? Notre Dame. Okay, great. You didn't like that one. It wasn't like you jumped up on that one. Come on, you got to do better here. You got to be faster. Raise your hand because you got to get one of these, right? All right, next one. Okay, raise your hand. What? Iowa! Thank you! See, I didn't think you'd know that. Okay, we got it. Yeah, well, I'm from Iowa. Cynthia's from Iowa. Aaron, are you from Iowa?
No.
Okay. Rod is. I thought Rod would know it, but okay. Next one.
Change of pace.
All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, what is it? What? Who said it? Okay. Marine Corps. No, you got to say what it's for. It's the fight song for the Marines. But you know, here, I'll let you pick one up. I'll give you one anyway. Okay, here you go. What? Okay. Navy. All right, we got it. Just only pay like, you know, when Name That Tune, they say I can name that tune of four bars. Let's try that. Okay, that Navy. So there you go. There you go. Next one. What? Army. Okay, Army. Four bars. Just give me four bars. Here we go. One more. What? Coast Guard. Okay. A little harder. One more here. Air Force. All right, that was easy. Pat can name that in three bars. That's good. All right. Here's another one. Okay. All right, that's good. What? You're right. It's Space Force. It's the Space Force. Nobody knows that one because they just came up with it a couple years ago. All right. We're good. Thank you. Give yourself a round of applause. And there's plenty out there, so pick them out and thank the generous donor who gave that to us. All right. Well, so I said all that to say, those are great songs, but really, the one that Jehoshaphat shared with us today is fantastic. It's amazing. And this story is so wonderful, and I don't want you to miss all the amazing things that God accomplished through the story. So King Jehoshaphat, who we're talking about tonight, he's the fourth king after the kingdom split. So Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa is the one I talked about last time I was here. And now Jehoshaphat, he reigned for 25 years. Jehoshaphat, he made some religious reforms. He carried on Asa's reforms, he has sent teachers throughout Judah to instruct God's people in God's law. And so he made some strides. He did some judicial reforms. He established judges throughout all the fortified cities. Asa, this is his theme verse. 2 Chronicles 17:6. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. And that is a wonderful epitaph to have on your tombstone. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Well, so as we read in the passage, so some people came to him and said, listen, there's a vast army and they're coming up to Jerusalem from the other side of the Dead Sea. And so Asa, alarmed, Jehoshaphat says, whoa, what is going on here? So the reason why he was so alarmed, you notice on the map here, Jerusalem is where he was. In Gedi is where the vast army was, and they were already 40 miles from Jerusalem. And he didn't even know it. And now all of a sudden he's got this army in his back door. He's like, what in the world? And what does he do? Well, what do you do when you face a crisis? And I think that is the lesson I learned as I worked through this amazing passage. What do you do when you face this crisis? Well, I have five responses. And the first response is to inquire. Not to inquire of your friends as to how they would solve their problem. Not to inquire of some counselor of how he thinks or she thinks you should solve the problem. Not to inquire of the pastor, say, hey, pastor, what do you think I should do about this? Those are fine things, but that's not what Asa, Jehoshaphat did. He inquired of the Lord. That is the key. So, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Inquire of the Lord. So, what do you do when you face a crisis? Do you email your friends? Do you call your friends? Do you text your friends? Say, I got this crisis. And you talk about the crisis, but never ask them to pray about it, or never pray about it, or you just like to talk about it. Well, I faced a crisis 2 months ago. It was one of the toughest things I've faced in quite a while. It was a relationship, a business relationship, and it was just really went a crazy way. And so I was struggling. And so I came and I talked to Brian and Rachel. I said, Brian and Rachel, I need your prayer. I need your prayer. I talked to Bob. I asked him to pray for me. Brian and Rachel sat down with me in the prayer room, and we prayed for my problem and my situation. And the week after, Brian would text me back and forth, and we'd pray about this thing. And while I was going through it, I texted him back and said, here's what's going on. Thank you for praying. Well, I'm thankful to say God resolved that issue. But at the time, I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever gone through. And what do I do? Well, you're supposed to inquire of the Lord and ask all your friends to sit down and inquire of the Lord with you. And so that's what Jehoshaphat did. What's required? If you're going to inquire of the Lord, can anybody just go and just inquire of the Lord? Well, sure you can go, but there's some requirements, right? So in Ezekiel, the requirement is purity. Well, of course, we're all sinners, and you can't stand before the Lord in your own righteousness. So saying that I have to be 100% pure, 1,000% pure, 99.9% pure, that's not even possible, right? But I can pray and ask for cleansing and forgiveness. But here's Ezekiel, and he said, in the seventh year, in the fifth month of the tenth day, some of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord. They sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to the elders of Israel, say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Have you come to inquire of me? Surely, as I live, I will not let you inquire of me, declares the sovereign Lord. When you offer your gifts, the sacrifice of your sons and the fire, you continue to defile yourselves with all your idols to this day. Am I to let you inquire of me, house of Israel? As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will not let you inquire of me. Wow. I mean, we think that we could go to the Lord at any time and inquire about anything. And he says, no, When you have known sin in your life, when you have something in your life that is absolutely opposite of what the Lord is requiring of you, you got to take care of that first. But these elders came to Ezekiel and says, hey, we want to know what God wants. Well, what he wants is for you to get right with the Lord first. And then he'll tell you your answer. But he's not going to answer you when you have sin in your life. Isn't that? That's a wonderful truth. And it's a convicting truth. Well, the second thing you have to have, what's required if you're going to acquire the Lord, is extended time with him. Sometimes we think, okay, let's just pray the quick prayer. I'm all for that. You know, when Peter was on the water, he didn't pray like a 20-minute prayer. He said, Lord, save me. So there's moments that we need to pray immediately, but there's moments also that you need to have extended time in prayer, especially when this is such an incredible challenge. So Acts chapter 1 and 14 and 24, they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen. So they were trying to replace Judas, and they wanted to know, Lord, we have to make the right decision here, and you know everybody's heart. They're both, from our view, look like godly men that could serve you well, but which one do you want to choose? And they extended time in prayer. So when you have this challenge, you need to spend extended time in prayer. What else do you need? Well, you need faith. That's just too easy, but it's not easy. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. Well, it's difficult sometimes, right? Because sometimes our challenges are so severe and your vision is so clouded and you're so confused, but still you need to come and approach the Lord with faith, believing that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Well, so what's required? A willingness to accept God's supremacy over your own. That's what's required. If you're going to acquire of the Lord, you need to be able to say, Lord, I want your will. I'm not just asking that it's one another option I could consider. The Lord himself, this is from the garden, and you know the scene so well, that he went and he fell on his face and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. He was in agony, and he prayed that the Lord would take it away, but not as I will, but as you will. So he recognized that his will was subservient to the Father's. And then he went away a second time and prayed, if it is not possible for this cup be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. That's a powerful passage. And if we look at it in depth, we'd find that Jesus, between verse 39 and 42, Jesus received his answer. He was wrestling with this, and then he wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and then he got his answer. And he stepped to the cross. So, when I inquire of the Lord, that's what Jehoshaphat did. He inquired. So what do I say? What do I say? Well, you need to acknowledge God's sovereignty, as we just read in Matthew, but start by prayer, by recognizing God's ultimate authority and power over your circumstances. Rather than diving straight into your problems, shift your perspective from the problem focus to God focus. Start with God and acknowledge him. And that's what we see Jehoshaphat doing. He said, Lord, the God of our answers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kings of the heaven, of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. You need to pray that. I mean, you need to pray that when things are going in terrible ways, you just need to remind yourself and pray to God, Lord, you're the God who's in heaven. You rule over the kingdoms. You rule over the situation. You rule over this person. You rule over my problem. Power and might are in your hand. Nobody can stand against you. What do you pray? Well, you need to recall God's faithfulness. So he in his prayer, wonderful prayer, remembered the specific times God helped you or others before you. And it built your faith and confidence that he can handle your current situation now. When you go back and remember what he's done in the past and how he helped and he is faithful and he's going to be faithful again this time. So in 2 Chronicles 20, we read it, but he talked about, you did not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. They've lived here in it and have built a sanctuary for your name. And he just remembered what God had done, and he built the temple for their name, for his name. But what did he pray? So he laid it out. He said, we looked at it in detail here, that the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, they're coming, and see how they're repaying us. Look at the situation. It's not fair. You need to respond. What do you pray? You need to be honest about your limitations. Admit it when you don't know what to do or you feel overwhelmed. And this verse right here, verse 12, this is the verse that prompted me to preach this passage. I love this verse. I think I pray this verse a lot. I feel this verse a lot. Oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Wow. 2 Chronicles 20:12. Memorize that one. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Inquiring. I'm inquiring of the Lord. Now, what's the next step? I have five steps. The next step is to listen. So we're really good about asking. We're not so great about listening. And I find myself that too. I got a bunch of prayer requests. I need to start writing down answers. I need to look for answers. I need to see the answers because they happen, but I don't recognize them all the time. And I need to look and listen to them. Well, you know what? Sometimes this is Elijah. You remember him in 1 Kings 19. He was trying to seek the Lord, and he was a great and powerful wind toward the mountains and shattered the rocks, and then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not an earthquake, and there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't under the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. That was the Lord. A still, small voice. I mean, we look for answers in big things, and yet sometimes God just simply whispers in your ear and says, here's the path. In fact, it says in Isaiah, there's a passage, when you look to the left or you look to the right, you will hear a voice behind you telling you, this is the way to go. This is the way. Walk in it. Well, so here it was. All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. Well, this was a community event. This was a huge event. This was a moment, and Jehoshaphat prayed and they stood there and they listened and they waited. We don't know how long they waited. I mean, sometimes you pray and you pray and you wait and you wait. Sometimes you pray, and God answers even before you finish praying. And the answer came. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah. This is fascinating to me. Who is this guy? We don't know who this guy is. We see his lineage, but we see that he's a Levite, and he's a descendant of Asaph. What do we know about Asaph? Well, Asaph was the musician. He wrote a bunch of psalms. He was in charge of the temple choir. Asaph was actually, he was the lead conductor in the choir. So, Jehaziel was a choir member. So, think about this. You had Jehoshaphat, you had the prophets, but the Spirit of God came on somebody in the choir. I find that fascinating. You know, sometimes we say, well, the senior pastor, he ought to know the direction we ought to go, and the elders and the council, and everybody. Maybe there's somebody in the choir that knows. Maybe the Lord's speaking to somebody in the choir. We don't have a choir, so that it wouldn't fit here. We ought to get a choir, so we're going to have somebody speak to us from the Spirit of the Lord. What I'm trying to say here is that the Holy Spirit can speak to you and reveal himself to you, and he can reveal himself to you from people that you don't necessarily consider. I mean, certainly he's a godly person, but I find it fascinating that the answer came from the choir. And he said, listen, Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because this vast army, the battle is not yours, but God's. It was a great message. And everyone was just taken aback by it. Said, yes, I was fearful, and now I'm hearing this message. And the battle's not yours, but God. And then he gives some specific instructions. Tomorrow, march out against them. They will be climbing up the pass by Ziz. You'll find them at the end of the guard. You will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Well, so here's the thing. They didn't have to fight the battle, but they had to show up. They couldn't just sit back in the tent. They had to go. They had to show up. And I think the listening part is you got to be present. You got to be in attendance. You can't just skip work that day. You've got to show up and see what God's going to do. But God's going to do it. So what struggle do you have that you think you can solve yourself? Sometimes we are in that mode. We think we can solve all our problems, and we're fixers. We're gonna try to fix it. If you're a husband, you want to fix your wife because she has a problem. You got to fix it because you fix things. Well, here, you're not going to fix this one. You're going to show up, and God's going to do it. And he's going to solve the problem. Well, the thing, it gets even better. It gets even better. Joshua bowed down with his face to the ground. What an amazing answer, right? I mean, think of the courage and the humility it took for the king to bow down and listen to somebody in the choir and realize it was God. It took humility to do that. And he bowed down. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord in a very loud voice. Wow. So now this turns into a praise service. And it's almost like charismatic. This is a big deal. And they're so excited they had the word of the Lord. So it gets even better. So early in the morning they left. They set out. Jehoshaphat stood up. And he gave them this great motivational speech saying, have faith in the Lord. You'll be upheld. Have faith in the prophets. You'll be successful. And then the most amazing part of this, in my mind, after consulting people, Joshua appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. So the guy in the choir, it's almost like, okay, it was your idea. You go first. Well, it wasn't like that, but it seems like that, right? They went out. The choir went first. It was like, is this the kind of battle that you would see recorded in the annals of war history? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Think about the battle strategy here. The choir's going out and they're singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And you got that tune going on in your mind. Cynthia didn't play that one for us, but I know it's in your mind. Give thanks to the Lord, for the heart is good. His love endures forever. That's what they were doing there. Maybe not that tune, but that's the song they were singing. That's how they approached the battle. What an amazing battle plan. So the third point here is you have to inquire, then you have to listen, and then you have to obey. You have to obey. They began to sing and praise. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab at Mount Seir, who were invading Eben. So basically, God had all these enemies turn on each other and fight each other. And so they must have thought they were wearing the wrong jersey or something. I don't know, but they fought each other. And after they finished slaughtering one another, they helped destroy one another. It's like, what is going on here? Isn't that amazing how God is in complete control and he solved their problem? They didn't have to lift a finger. How do you apply that to your life? Well, I think inquire of the Lord, listen, obey. It was important. They had to get up that morning. They had to go out. They had to dress for battle. They had to look, and they had to watch what God is going to do. I love this song because it just kind of fits right into this story. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. Jesus, you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. God destroyed the enemies even before they showed up. And God can solve the problem that you're facing even before you show up. And so the fourth step is to watch. And here it is. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. That was it. That was what they did that day. They just watched. They just watched God do something amazing. And that's where your prayer life really takes hold as you turn it over to the Lord and you call out His grace and mercy, that He is the sovereign King of Kings, that you can't solve this problem, but only He can solve this problem, and you're going to obey what you are told to do, but you're going to watch Him, and you're going to watch Him solve the problem, and here that He did. An amazing way. Amazing. Joshua and his men went down to carry off the plunder. That was their job that day. They were moving. You're moving today. You're moving all this stuff. And so you're going, the plunder was such a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There's so much plunder, it took 3 days to collect it. And all the way they're doing it, they're singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Man, oh man. What a great song. It's in your head. You're just singing it and say, "Look at all this stuff. I'm taking it all home. God has blessed me above and beyond what I could ever imagine." He can do that for you too. Watch. And then rejoice. That's the fifth step. So Joshua, led by all the men of Judah, returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They went into Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. What an amazing moment for Israel. You know, I think sometimes too, as we ponder this and think about how it relates to your prayer life, certainly the inquiry part, we want to get that down, and the listen part, and the obey part, and the watching for the answer. But there needs to be a rejoicing part. I'm rejoicing that Brian and Rachel and Bob prayed for me in this situation that I didn't really at one point think it was ever going to work out. But it has worked out, and it's worked out in amazing ways. But at the time, I didn't think it was going to work out. I thought, it'll never work. But it did. But it's God. He did it. I didn't do it. But you got to rejoice. You got to thank God for everything that He's done. And we skip that part sometimes. We just kind of go on, say, "Well, that was great," and move on like nothing happened. The fear of the Lord came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against them and His enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. What a great story. I love this story of Jehoshaphat. So what are the lessons learned? God's answers often defy human wisdom. I mean, if you were drawing up the battle plan, would you put the choir in the front? I don't think so. I like the choir. They're great people, but I don't think I'd put them in the front. They're not that great of shots. They're okay, but they're not. I wouldn't, but God did. Well, Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, praise God for that. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He understands much more than. So why wouldn't I inquire of the Lord? Why wouldn't I do that? So God's answers defy human wisdom. God's answers are often bigger than we can imagine. I mean, the choir went out, but it took them 3 days to collect all the plunder and bring it home. Now to him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Immeasurably more. God can answer your... He can provide answers beyond your imagination. And really, sometimes the reason we don't see those is because we didn't pray them. We never asked for them, something beyond our imagination. We're praying little prayers. I'm convicted as I look at my prayer list. You know, if God answered my prayers, would it just change me and my family, or would it change the world? Well, that makes your prayer life a little different. Would it change me and my life and my family, or would it change the world? Lessons learned. God answers when you call on him. Jonah, our friend Jonah, he didn't learn, but he learned, as in the fish, he prayed, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Well, what do you do when you face a crisis? You need to inquire of the Lord. You need to listen for the answer. You need to obey when he gives you the answer. You need to watch for him to come to your rescue, and you need to rejoice when he answers your prayer. That's the answer. I'm going to close with this, but I'm going to share it now because I want you to hear it twice. Zephaniah 3, verse 17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Isn't that a great concept? Zephaniah 3, 17, the Lord will rejoice over you with singing. Wow, just imagine that choir and that army. But the Lord was singing in a great song as well. And he wants to sing. He wants to rejoice over you with singing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that when we face difficult situations, we can inquire of you. We're so thankful for that. We need that. Forgive us when we try to solve our own problems. Thank you for those times where you respond in amazing ways and answer our prayers that we had no idea of what the answer could be. Lord, help us to listen for your answer. Help us to obey when we hear the answer. Help us, Lord, to watch and see your hand working. And Lord, help us to rejoice for your goodness in our lives. So we thank you for this time to consider these verses from Jehoshaphat. In Jesus' name, amen.